Yeah, I can do that. All right, so welcome to ContraCast episode 5. Today, I guess, in honor of that, there's 5 people here, which is about 4 people too many. Things might get a little crazy. But we got a lot of topics today. This is going to be pretty much the nerd episode. It's about computers. Steven's wearing glasses that are in order for the show. I'm going to go ahead and start and introduce myself and then pass it around and everyone can introduce themselves and tell you where to get in touch with them. My name is Paul Kwiatkowski. You can follow me on my blog at contrapaul.blogspot.com and facebook.com/Kwiatkowski and twitter.com/contrapaul. The last week I've just been busy doing things and stuff. I finally got accepted to UNCC, so I'll be going there next month. I finally got a call back to Ross, so I can go in and get an orientation tomorrow, watch some safety videos. And yeah, oh, I'm on today's day 12 of 14 days of Photoshop, so I can stop turning out crap every day. Anyway, who wants to go next?
I'm Steven Pulaski. You can follow me on Twitter. My name is Steven Pulaski. It's spelled on the Paul's website, facebook.com/Steven Pulaski. I recently went to orientation at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, also known as the University of National Champions. and work at Dollar General now, making that sweet cash money, that sweet $7 an hour. And I pretty much work 40-hour weeks, so I'm busy with that. But yeah, I've just been chilling out, enjoying the summer, and looking forward to college next year.
Nice. All right, Lee, you want to go?
Yeah. What's up? I'm Lee Elmore. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Lee Elmore. And I'm the nub here for the podcast thing. I'm going to be a senior at Reagan this fall, and just trying to prune.
Lee was here, and so we asked him to be on the show, and of course, kind of idiot would say no to this honor. All right, John.
Okay, you follow me on Facebook at John.Kwiatkowski, and on Twitter at John_Kwiatkowski.
That beats last week's John. Facebook.John.Kwiatkowski.the internet.
Anyway, I signed up for classes.
Google.com. Search John
Kwiatkowski. You can find me on the America's Most Wanted. I'm number 3.
Anyway, I just signed up for classes at the community college here and had to stay in the line for 6 hours to do so. So they'd better be worth it.
Find me on Z-Forms.
On to you, Mike.
Hey, I'm Mike Pulaski. You can follow me on Mike Pulaski at Twitter.com, and you can follow me at mpulaski at Facebook.com. I'm just looking forward to going to UNC Charlotte with Paul. Finally don't have to do the app, because app sucks.
All right, 49ers.
Yeah, no, I'm going from one mountain man to another mountain man. So.
And we don't have any mountains.
I don't
care.
Just
got tall buildings.
Got some tall
Those
buildings.
Count.
All right, so tonight we got a number of topics. We're going to talk about cable-free lifestyles and moving to that. We're going to talk about a topic that's been on the internet for the last week, IE6 must die. We're going to talk about Google's announcement about Chrome OS and a little bit about our speculation on that. And then a number of other small things. The new August Burns Red came out and the new Harry Potter movie came out. And some cool gadgets we got in the mail. So to start off, we're going to move into cable-free lifestyle. And this, of course, is living without paying for any kind of cable. And it's something that's kind of catching on slowly around the world. Really in the U.S., I guess. But, you got like a $40 more cable bill per month and just kind of shutting that out and starting to get stuff online or at other places. Initial thoughts, everyone, on that topic?
Cable-free lifestyle sounds like something I would definitely do out of college, depending on the content. I like the stuff on cable. I know you had to deal without, regular cable. You got basic cable.
You get at school, so it's not really good.
I know the rest of the world, probably Japan, people can live over there with cable-free, have, all access to everything.
Not watching Maji Day every day.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a good idea. I guess it could get kind of expensive, paying for cable. So I feel like there's a lot of content on the web. You can watch movies and you know, TV shows. Most new TV shows have them out on Hulu or wherever. Yeah. So you can pretty much watch TV on through your computer. So I guess it would be a good thing to try out for like maybe a couple months and just see what it's like.
The idea to talk about this came from a tweet from Scott Johnson, who does the Extra Life podcast and the Instance podcast of MyExtraLife.com. And he was just showing off his way of doing no cable business. So he's got a little tiny Apple mini computer hooked up to a 42-inch HD TV and stuff. And he just brings in a 360 or a PS3 and hooks it up. But he uses like Hulu and Netflix streaming and stuff. And he never really runs out of content.
He gets that Apple box, whatever you call it, the Apple TV.
Yeah, he's got Apple TV hooked up too. And so it kind of started me thinking, you know, I mean, after college or even, I mean, in college you get it paid for, so it's not a big deal. But after college or even now at home, I mean, it's one of those things. It's not hard to do like a, you know, workout cable free. And the thing, the pros and cons of that are, I mean, cable gives you content. I mean, all the time, you know, new content and repeats, but cable free, you got the opportunity to watch it whenever you want to, so it's kind of a huge plus. You know, you can pause and stop and come back to it or whatever. Lee, you were just absent. We just started talking about cable free business. What do you think? I mean, what's your initial thought or reaction to hearing like cable free lifestyle and not like the tards in the mountains, kind of like, you know. Yeah. Living in the cabin, washing their clothes in the toilet,
TV
kind
over
of
the airwaves.
No, not even having a TV. That's one kind of cable. We're talking about like getting all your content, but getting it without paying for cable.
Well, for me, like a lot of the shows that have a big following or on the major cable networks, and a lot of the shows on MTV or sometimes a lot of the series, you can catch most of them online with very little advertisement, and you can pause it and play it and watch it on your own time. You don't have to like set aside that part of your night, you know, every week during prime time to watch that show. And so with just that alone is only one part of all the different things that you can find that, you know, that you would want to watch, all the different content. But I think it's definitely something that you could do and probably save a lot of money.
Yeah. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I go ahead about this. I mean, like, all the shows I love to watch now, I don't get them a cable at home here, so I have to watch them online.
Yeah, Hello Kitty Island Adventures.
Yes, exactly.
A TV series.
Mean
so,
Girls,
I mean, it wouldn't...
All that stuff. You know, the good shows.
Anyway, but, so, I mean, it wouldn't be a big change to me. You know, the only thing would be, like, watching the news, you know, the local news at night. But I mean,
who wants that?
Yeah, exactly. Who wants that? I got CNN.
It's an hour of local news for 5 minutes of news and some weather. All right, so
who needs news? You just got Yahoo homepage.
Exactly, it's Yahoo homepage.
That's all I need.
Yahoo homepage. Yeah.
Hey, did you guys hear Michael Jackson die?
Yeah. Hey, did you hear that yesterday?
Whoa, wait there, Lee.
Old news. I was like, we talking about Billy Mays dying on episode 2.
Did you guys, that was episode 2?
Yeah, it cranks up with Billy Mays here.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so I think we kind of covered that a little bit. I mean, there's so much right now you can do to get your content without paying for cable. And it's not a downgrade. I mean, it's almost like an upgrade to be able to get your content whenever you want it. I mean, you can pay for Netflix as your subscription fee if you want. You can stream movies or TV shows from there, you know, anytime over your consoles or over your combi. And you got Hulu and Hulu Desktop, which is a cool application they created that basically allows you to control Hulu with a remote control instead of like a mouse. It's big and full screen and everything, and it's got all the content Hulu has, but it's made for TVs or like for full screen. So anyway, just one more thing. Mike is just doing this. He's got an older XP computer, and he just put Vista on it.
Oh yeah, I just put 13 Vista on there.
Yeah, running that as a running that as a media PC out to his TV. All right, so yeah, we're gonna move on to our. Before we move on to the next topic, which is Internet Explorer 6 Must Die, I'm gonna have Steven tell a little story about orientation and why it never ever pays to be a short kid.
Yeah. All right. So this past weekend, as I mentioned earlier, or no, not even this past weekend. This Thursday and Friday, it was. I went to orientation at Carolina. Of course, you know they make you do those stupid little icebreaker games or whatever, and you know, tell your name and your
toss the ball with the question.
Tell your major and what you want to do in life. All that good stuff. So.
Oh, I thought that was Amy. I know. I was like, oh, we're
going to
cut Amy.
No, it's all right. We're being interrupted, but we'll record. We'll keep on going. Yeah. Adios.
You can cut that stuff out.
I probably won't cut that out. I'm getting used to not editing these things.
All right, anyway. Yeah. So we were doing one such icebreaker activity, and I guess this one wasn't so much an icebreaker, but we were playing dodgeball, you know, to try to get everyone to do it. And, of course, dodgeball is a thing. You know, you target the weakest player on the other team, and of course, they were doing that thing where everyone just kind of holds their dodgeball and stands and looks around and like, oh, am I going to get hit?
Have the Clint Eastwood stare down.
Yeah, the game, the balls. Western music started
stare down ball, running the dodgeball.
So,
tumbleweed floats past in the gym.
Yeah, me being the guy that I am, I decided that this needed to end. So, I got up and ran there. I had a ball and I just chucked it as hard as I possibly can, sidearm, at the other team, just at a wall of people, just hoping to embarrass someone or, I don't know, just cause some damage.
Hoping to kill somebody.
The ball curved and hit this small child that was at orientation in the neck. And this guy was maybe like 4'11", 80 pounds. And I guess he's in my class, but and it pretty much like knocked him down. And what ensued was a dead silence followed by me laughing about what I just did. So pretty much I look like a complete douchebag in front of everyone at orientation. Everyone's like, wow, that was totally uncalled for. So yeah, I made a pretty good first impression on my first day at Carolina on campus.
But they all learned that you can curve bullets.
And the great thing is, no one's going to remember anyone by time.
That'll teach them not to mess with Wu-Tang.
Yeah, they don't understand that where we come from in Clemens, we used to play dodgeball at our church on almost a weekly basis.
Competitively.
It's brutal. There was no mercy.
No mercy!
Like, a kid would run out and it... Didn't matter who it was. You pelted him in the face to make him do a backflip.
Standing on the sidelines were not safe. You get in the face, it's your own fault. Learn to dodge.
I got a AAA headshot on a 6-year-old
and
child.
For one period of time, you know, it was we just built the new church building, so they didn't have regular dodgeballs. We were using volleyballs.
Oh, yeah. Basketballs even.
Oh, and those hurt a little bit more than a dodgeball if you've ever gotten hit in the face with a volleyball.
The four square.
Yeah, you guys remember playing with the strobe lights up? It was like seizure balls. You're trying to play and it's just blinking and all of a sudden you throw it.
Everyone with epilepsy's already out because they're just laying on the ground getting kicked by the guy standing there over them.
Alright, so I think we're going to move on to our next topic now.
Digression!
Exactly. Alright, so that was fun. We're going to talk about Internet Explorer 6 and why it must die. And so what brought this on is all last week there's been stuff online about why Internet Explorer 6 is done. And Internet Explorer 6, for those who don't know, it launched with Windows XP, which is old now. Windows XP is like 2001.
Can't stand those people that just bow down to XP.
It's 09.
It's the greatest.
It's technology. If it came out a week ago, it's old.
Yeah, but this is 8 years old. So Internet Explorer 6, it's old now. And it lets viruses in like nobody's business. And it's... It cannot accept modern internet technology. I mean, like, I'm looking down at this page on Mashable.com, and there's stuff like the new HTML series, HTML5 won't work on it, Cascading Style Sheets 2. I mean, all this stuff is really kind of like... I mean, stuff normal people don't know much about, but all you need to know is that Internet Explorer 6 stifles internet advancement, because every site that has any kind of visitors... needs to kind of like a retro program. They need to program their page, and then when they get it like how they want it, they need to go in and fix it so that it works on old Internet Explorer 6.
Basically, they have to slow it down for all the IE6 people.
And there's not, I mean, it's hard to know how many are left. My dad is the county webmaster here, and 44% of his visitors on the county site use Internet Explorer 6.
Good God.
I know, 44%. And then, like, 10% use it on dig.com. I mean, I think if we take those numbers and say that, like, they're completely different people that go to those sites, you know, I mean, there's, the, like, the young under 30s and, you know, like, up-to-date types that go on Dig. I mean, the most dug stuff sometimes is, like, you know, the new Chrome is released or, like, Firefox 3.5. So, I mean, you can count on those people to be up-to-date and not have that.
But you're saying 44%.
Yeah, 44%.
Are people that have not updated their internet software in 8 years.
They're going to the county website, Lee. These are
old people.
The county website. Yeah. I thought that was some kind of like.
So I would say that's probably almost as high as you can get, other than like senior reading hour, the website. And so I think, I mean, we can probably say that it's between, you know, 10 and 44, maybe like 20% of people still use that, which is kind of ridiculous. I mean, you know, I was talking to my dad today, and he's telling me that he's never even seen, like, a prompt to upgrade from Internet Explorer 6. I've seen that kind of thing all the time. I mean, like, everywhere you go nowadays, if you, like, once you just, like, reinstall your operating system and everything, everywhere you go is prompting you to download new codecs and, like, little plugins and everything. And so, I mean, I know there's a whole bunch of prompt to upgrade stuff.
They got one for Internet Explorer 8 on Windows Vista if you install the third service pack.
Yeah.
I know we've had 7, but
a lot of people in that bracket are probably, they're more concerned with blocking pop-ups, and they're so concerned with their security that they've probably blocked most of the prompts.
Well, that's I know that's got to be part of it.
They're reluctant to download any kind of upgrade or add-on because they're worried it's going to give them viruses.
And that's another problem. I mean, I wonder if people that see, you know, prompts to upgrade to like Firefox or something are like, oh, I don't want to install another toolbar.
They won't even, not putting a
12th toolbar on Windows Internet Explorer, you know. I'm sure you guys have seen that picture online that it's just like Internet Explorer, the entire screen is toolbars.
Oh, God.
That's what it feels like to use Internet Explorer. But
people just don't read anything that comes on the screen all the time. They don't realize that it's going to automatically install the toolbar.
Yeah, anything you install these days, they want to include a special toolbar with it.
Some good software. I mean, you get some software like, I don't know, like Demon Tools is a ISO reading software, and it's a useful thing, but every time I download and install it, it's like, hey, do you want to put the Demon toolbar or the Yahoo toolbar? I'm like, no, I don't want either one of those.
The thing that's actually good has the word daemon in it.
It's D-A-E-M-O-N.
Like Damon?
Yeah, like Damon, but it's Demon. It's British.
It's pretty much Demon.
Yeah, it's like Michael. got that AE action going on.
Demon over here.
You guys are wondering why there's a snowstorm coming off my head over here.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering.
It's because I got freaking
dandruff,
sunburn.
Because you don't wash your hair.
I washed my hair 3 times. Because
you were spanky out.
Because I got sunburned one day. I didn't put sunscreen on top of my head, and I like shaved it to like a 3/8 inch or shorter than I ever done it. I didn't know that the top of my head would sunburn.
Yeah.
You're
going
to be on the beach.
I get sunburned with this completely white. I've never seen a bald guy who's got tomato in his hair. It hurt so bad, and then I realized today that my whole head was like flaking off.
Who knew?
GG.
What's that going to do with some bald guy that has like hair around his head, and if he ever gets sunburned, just color his hair green so it looks like a tomato top?
I would
be worried about my reputation, but I know there's no girls that listen to this, so.
we're getting more viewers. I know, we'll figure that out. But alright, so real quick before we move on past that, everyone please tell your browser and why you use it, as nerdy as that is. Mike, we'll start with you. John over there.
I use Chrome, Google Chrome. I know they just came out with an operating system. We'll probably talk about that in a few, but Chrome operating system, or the Chrome browser, I just think is good. I've tried Firefox, and I've used it for a while, and I don't know, I haven't used the recent one, but for some reason, I don't like Firefox, and I like Chrome because it has, like, features like the fast favorites bar at the top, so you can just click it for my favorites all the time, and I never have to go to a home page.
Because Chrome copied Firefox. John, go ahead.
I mean, for me, I use Chrome. I've tried Firefox as well, and
Firefox just doesn't work for me.
As long as you guys don't use Internet Explorer, that's
Chrome
cool.
Seems real simple. It's nice.
They don't even have the bookmark bar on there, John.
John hasn't customized much.
Because I would use that.
I've got the bookmark bar.
Oh, that's what I hate about Firefox. Firefox doesn't have the little thing to click to open a new tab.
Yeah.
I know Paul has the little shortcut thing.
IE9 has that.
Okay, whatever. It does have it.
Yeah.
There's no update, does.
So, I use Firefox. I keep on pointing. Mike says stuff that Firefox doesn't have. I'm like, oh, look! It's right there. That's all you need to know. Steven?
I currently use Internet Explorer 7. I'm one step ahead of the curve on IE6, also known as Internet Exploiter. I don't have a laptop. I don't have a laptop currently.
What's the most current
Internet
Explorer 8?
Yeah, I currently don't have a laptop, so I'm pretty much using my parents' computer. I don't really need, I'm pretty busy and not.
As long as it's not yours, deload all the viruses you can.
Yeah. But, it works. It's just not very secure
and
all that. I mean, everything we just mentioned, so, yeah.
All right, and Lee Moore.
I as well have Internet Explorer 7, and I only use that because the new computer that was purchased most recently in our house was technically not for me. It's in my room and I use it only pretty much, but it's my dad's computer still. I'm getting my own computer within the next year, and when it does come out, I'll probably use Firefox because I've had Firefox before on my old computer and I was happy with it.
High fives.
I haven't had a lot of issues. I haven't had a lot of issues just because I'm weary of viruses and I know what I like to
update
stuff when it comes along to have updates.
He likes to have quick nut up.
Yep. Alright, so we're going to talk real quick about Google's Chrome operating system, which they announced last week. And this kind of came as a huge surprise from Google, especially to me, because I mean, they're announcing Chrome operating system as kind of like a web-based netbook operating system.
They're trying to get it on phones now, too.
They're trying to do that, but the more I look at it, it makes more sense. I mean, it's web-based. It's based off the Chrome browser. And what that means is like web applications are going to load instantly, like they're going to load with the browser instead of like, are they going to load with the operating system, not like on top of the operating system? So that's kind of cool, but I kind of was surprised by this because they announced it as like a netbook and phone operating system, and they're already developing Android, which is one. So that's what kind of confused me. What do you guys think about that?
I thought it was kind of a surprise myself, like you, Paul, because they came out with Android just recently, and I don't know, it just seems like Google's, you know, trying to, I don't know, move really fast in the technology, either that or just, you know, make more money with their operating system. But I could see if it's more for netbooks, but I saw that they were trying to put it on phones now, and they haven't even barely gotten, you know, Android on any phones other than the G1, so I don't see the purpose of this operating system.
Yeah, G2's out. There's a couple of phones with Android, but still not like the widespread.
I haven't seen a good iPhone competitor with the Android. If I see that, then I'll be happy.
I don't know. I don't pay attention to phones that aren't on Verizon because it's like dreaming about something you will never have. It just doesn't work. All right, so we're talking about that a little bit. But what do you guys think about just like Google's software suite in general? I mean, I just saw the other day like 12 new pieces of software I'd never seen before. It's just like, I don't know, Google has as many separate software things as they have people that they have hired.
They got a Google software widget.
Exactly.
To me, it seems like they need some sort of venue to make more money because, from what I've heard, they're losing money on YouTube.
I wouldn't be surprised, yeah.
Because my dad was saying something about the rate at which the memory that's being taken up expands, like, is overshadowing the money that they're receiving from advertising by, like,
800%. Let's take a short detour and talk about that. Web advertising. I have a problem understanding why companies don't pay more for it. I mean, commercials make money. Like, everyone knows this. I mean, commercials are just like cash, but I don't understand why people don't pay more attention to them online. Like, why companies, you know, don't invest. I mean, on Hulu, they do a good job with putting ads in there. but you know that they're not paying as much for an ad on Hulu as they are on their on the TV or whatever. And stuff like, it's just laughable to see the kind of ad they can get on, like, Facebook or YouTube. I mean, you just get these dumb ads for the, this cheap, like, gimmick stuff when that those sites are being used by millions and millions of people every day. You know, like, way more than some TV stations. But why aren't the companies like, you know, Quiznos or Ford putting ads on there? And it falls to, like, trashy people to do that.
Well, I'm not. I don't know how the internet advertising exactly works, but I do know that, say, you're looking at your Facebook page, for instance, and you refresh your page, you're gonna have a different ad on the side of your screen than you did before. Is that not right? It's like a lot of times the ad changes.
Yeah, the ads change a lot, but it's not so, like they have to change. I mean,
well, they don't have to, but I'm sure they have a lot of different people kind of bidding for the same ad space,
yeah.
And so it changes up, and it's kind of a potluck drawn out. With a TV commercial, you know, a commercial in the 8 to 9 block on a weeknight is gold. Because the number of people that are watching that most likely aren't going to change the channel because they're really, really infatuated with their show. They don't want to miss a second. They might mute it, but you're still going to get the advertising time, and see, people are still going to see it. With internet, you know, with internet, Facebook is an example that I think is kind of an exception to the rule because so many people use Facebook.
Yeah, I mean,
with other websites, they're kind of obscure, you know.
Well, in the top 100, I mean, you still get the same kind of low quality. I mean, I'm looking down at some ads in our Facebook, and so we got an ad for some obscure free-to-play online game. You can get your Naruto cursors. I don't know why you'd want those.
And how does the free game make money?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, because they have ads on their page, but
they don't have to,
but this is, I mean, Facebook is a big site. All right, now here we got a Sprint ad, and so that makes a little more sense. But again, I mean, why don't we have Sprint ads and McDonald's and all sorts of stuff all over the place? Above it, there's a online men's sample sales to get. It's even spelled wrong. I mean, the ad is join Guilt Grew today for free. I mean, it's. It doesn't make any sense how that can get up here, and yet other companies don't want to do that, you know. And, I mean, other sites, even like CNN.com and stuff, I mean, some of the big sites like that, yeah, those have real ads on them. But
I think companies probably feel that ads on the side of the page wouldn't get viewers' full attention like it would on the TV. That's the only thing on your TV. I mean, of course you're going to look at that. They may feel like it's not worth it. It might not translate into more sales and not be cost-effective because it's just a little one-inch square
yeah,
on your screen.
It's
only
but
one
what do you guys think?
Media.
I mean, do you guys think that they're overestimate commercials at all?
Yeah,
I think they put people in like a focus group and they're like, hey, watch this commercial. And so they do their testing there. I think at home, I mean, I would bet that over 50% of people aren't intently watching commercials, you know. I mean, maybe the first time I see a funny one, I'm like, hey, that's the Quiznos.
I mean, you may not be
intentionally with McDonald's. Like, that's a company that spends a major amount of money on advertising. And with food, especially fast food and the groups that they're targeting.
Now, food is one I can understand on this.
When you see, like, that on TV, I've had times where I've saw a Taco Bell commercial and been like, dang, I really want some Taco Bell. And I went out and bought it just because I saw it on TV.
Wow.
And also, this used car dealerships. I mean, everyone knows a Carolina Kia.
That's
the greatest deals, and we all know that Frank Mir's Auto. Everybody rides.
Everybody rides. It's almost like a competition to see who can make the most poorly produced commercial for their auto sales place.
Well, I don't think it's just the visual stuff. I think it's the audio because I know most of the time. When I went to college for the first year, I would mute the commercials because my dad always mutes the commercials. And my roommates would always ask me, they're like, why'd you turn off the TV? Because they wouldn't be looking at it. They'd be in the room on the computer, but they would listen to the commercials or listen to the TV. And so they just, always ask me why I'm muting the TV. And, you know, for most catchy commercials, you know, you can hear it.
Everyone knows freecreditreport.com.
Stephen mentioned a good point, though, about the commercials at the used car dealerships is there's crappy commercials on TV just like there is on the internet.
Yeah.
So there's different qualities in both venues.
There are, but, I mean, if you just look at overall, I mean, sometimes, yeah, you get stuck by the little banner ads and companies don't want that.
Oh, yeah.
But other times, I mean, you've got big ads in some places, and I'm not used to. I mean, places where I don't like ads. I mean, Facebook is one of those, but where I don't mind ads, if I'm on a blog, if I'm like CNN.com, like I said, yeah. I can understand it because I'm like, you know, at first you get mad, you're like, why is there an ad there? And then you're like, oh wait, CNN.com, CNN the TV station has ads, but all right, so rather than take a break there.
Off topic.
Yeah. I think we're going to, let me see where we're at. All right. Yeah. So I think we're going to take a little intermission right now. And I'll pause the show. We'll get back in just a minute. And like I did last time, I'll probably put something of some kind of value in the middle. So see you in a minute.
Well, I married my dream girl, I married my dream girl, but she didn't tell me her credit was bad. So now, instead of living in a pleasant suburb, we're living in the basement at her mom and dad's. No, we can't get a loan for a respectable home, just because my girl defaulted on some old credit card. If we'd gone to freecreditreport.com, I'd be a happy bachelor with a dog and a yard.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
All right, everyone, we're back from our little intermission. We've lost Steven and Lee, mainly because they don't really know much about the next topics we're going to talk about. We're on the back half of the show.
Back nine.
Yeah, the back nine or five. So our first topic is Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. Mike's over here scowling. Mike's never been introduced to the magic of Harry Potter.
Oh, yes.
And by magic, I mean magic. So John and I happened upon tickets to the midnight release showing, which was an adventure, to say the absolute least. It went something like this. We went in, and there were many actual wizards and witches around. Actually, I take that back. There were no wizards. There were only witches, because guys don't dress up in robes to go to shows unless it's
they
Star
just all
Wars.
Have ponytails. Everyone,
yeah, there was some interesting ratios. I mean, the ratio of attractive people to not attractive people was awful. The ratio of ponytails on men to regular haircuts was like 6-4. That's 4 ponytails. But overall, I mean, Harry Potter 6 was awesome. I did not really like the last two movies all that much. I mean, after the third one, the third one, they changed so much. Like, the first two were, like, by the book, done by Christopher Columbus, the director, not the explorer. And so they were basically, like, watching the book play out. The third one was more of a creative license, and people actually liked it more, kind of. It was a weird change. And the fourth and fifth kind of took the same tone. But I really like the sixth. John, initial thoughts?
It was, amazing. I loved it.
Thanks for those initial five words.
I can have more words than that, and I didn't even see it, John.
I know, Mike.
But,
Mike's like, well, Metacritic says it's a brilliant film. I can go on.
I mean, I loved it more than the last one. It just seemed to kind of play more along with the book. But,
friendly reminder, though, the internet cannot see your hand motions. So, all right, so we got another initial. It was really well shot. It was long. It was like 2.5 hours. It was as long as
long.
It was Transformers long, but Transformer. I can't say that it was as long as Transformers, but Transformers long.
It was long as Transformers, but not as long as Transformers.
We'll say this. It was as long as Transformers, but I think Transformers long is a new meaning for us. That means when something is intolerably long, and it's not worth seeing. So
into the ninth hour of Transformers.
Exactly. Well into the ninth hour of Transformers. I'm sure we talked about that. There was a great fake review of it where it was talking about Michael Bay's art film. Transformers is a masterpiece. Anyway, so we're back to the movie. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'll give it a 9 out of 10 or more, just because they left a few ends not tied up. I mean, the whole deal with the Half-Blood Prince in general, I mean, the book, I mean, obviously the title's that. They spent a lot of the book dealing with that particular topic. The movie is like less than I don't know, it was like dead Optimus Prime amount of time on the actual title, but that wasn't bad. It was just like, it was odd for moviegoers, I'd assume. Like, if you haven't read the books, it'd be weird. You'd be like, why exactly is this called this? You could be like, Harry Potter and the stuff that happens after the Order of the Phoenix movie. Anyway, John, go ahead and wrap up your thoughts.
I mean, that was odd, too, because, you know, in the book they do a lot of talking about trying to find out who that is and stuff, and here it's like, yeah, they see it's a book from the Half-Blood Prince, and then one line at the end of the movie, and it's like... Exactly, and it's like, wow, that, you know, you talked about that a lot.
Anyway, we'll go ahead. This week, like I said before in the introduction, we got some cool little gadgets coming out from the mails. For starters, like halfway through the week, I got this awesome Wacom bamboo tablet. I've been calling it Wacom until I got it, and the nice British man on the introductional DVD
on the telly,
on the telly was like, thank you for purchasing your Wacom bamboo tablet. And I was like, ah, really? So that thing is awesome. It's a drawing tablet for my computer. If you've been following the 14 days of Photoshop, you've probably seen the garbage I've turned out with that. I've had a blast with it, though. It's just, the funny thing is, sometimes I'm kind of slower, but like just today I was recoloring a page or two of a comic for today's Photoshop project. And it's maybe a little slower, but I just like sitting down and taking my time and scribbling out the insides of a black frame or something. I was extremely impressed. I didn't realize this, but the stylus on the touchpad is made of materials that are meant to make you feel like you're touching paper. And it's awesome how close it is. I mean, you feel like you're just sitting there drawing, a doodle in class or something, or just like actually drawing on paper or whatever. Which really adds to the like the feel you get and the response and everything. Overall, I mean, I wrote a review on my website about it. I'm very happy with it. The only thing that I'm not happy with, and it takes a little bit of getting used to, is I can't really use it with dual monitors because the touch area automatically adjusts so that it covers your screen. And what that means for two monitors is that it stretches out really far, so half of the touchpad is like on each screen, and so it makes drawing. It's weird. It's like difficult to do. Anyway, we're gonna move on then to the next thing we got this week, which is our new computer input devices, our new mice. To preface this, over the last like 2 years, I've just been using a combination of this little tiny laptop mouse I got for like free on Newegg. That's been doing a nice job at mousing. It just is really small, and so it's hard to use. And then I rewired an old Nyko Airflow mouse. And that thing does not have the greatest resolution, doesn't have the greatest accuracy, but it blows air onto my hand. So it's something that is awesome. But it's pretty much, it's gone now. I mean, it has like mice Alzheimer's. So you can't give it pills to fix it. And John he got his laptop about a month ago or so. He's just been using a Microsoft mouse, which does its job fine. But we decided it was time for an upgrade.
Oh yes.
So we threw down the pistols and picked up Doom Shotties. I got a mouse by a company called OCZ, and it's called the Behemoth, which is their top-of-the-line gaming mouse. Mike ordered his, but he has yet to receive it.
No.
FedEx is odd. I don't use them much, but they are strange with shipping.
They're like USPS. USPS is the slowest, then FedEx.
I mean, USPS isn't bad when you're at school, because it's like a day and a half that it's at the post office.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But anyway, so I got my mouse in the mail. It's got this material.
No, painted over a Penske truck delivered it.
Yeah,
that was odd.
But I just said I got it in the mail, so it doesn't matter what delivered it. I wasn't gonna
as
go.
As long as it gets.
I wasn't
game
going
enough.
Into the seedy side of that story about how they disguise their trucks.
Anywho, I got the same mouse as Paul, so you can just listen to Paul's description.
Yeah, it's ergonomic. It's got a place for all my fingers. It's got this this black rubberized material that the company Razer started using first, and then they kind of spread out. But it is awesome. It is a very, very cool mouse. But to trump me, because he's lately taken to doing that, John was looking for a mouse, and he got a $20 gift certificate for getting his computer because he got it at Best Buy. 9 out of 10 times you should not do this, but if you find a deal like we did, go ahead and do it. Got a gaming gateway computer and everything. Anyway, so he gets a gift certificate from Best Buy, and so I look on their website, and for like a week only, they've got a deal running for half off the Logitech G9 gaming mouse. And for those who don't know, which is probably all of you, that is the top of the line mouse that Logitech offers. So if Logitech was Honda, that's the R1. I got more like an R6 kind of mouse. Both of them are sweet, but one of them has a million different colors of LEDs that you can customize.
It's like Paul described it before. It's like a nice Infiniti G37 versus a Hyundai Genesis. They both do the same thing just about as well.
Well, that was
but
my
one
that
has
was
the better factor about it.
No. This is my before we got them. I said it would probably be like Rode and Tracked or did a comparison about a month or two ago between the Hyundai Genesis and the Infiniti G37. And one of them, of course, is like the Hyundai was half the price of the G37, but it was able to compare stuff. So that was the amazing thing about it, was that one was cheaper by half, but it was able to do all the same things. I thought that would be what it would be like. Honestly, now that I have them, I don't think mine's any worse.
Oh, not at all.
The only downside, if it's a downside, or there's a couple really, but there's the only real one is I can't change the color of the LEDs. The customizable weights are a little tougher to get to, and I don't have a second grip to put on the mouse. But it does all the same stuff. It's got
it does
the same
have a DPI increase button.
They have the same kind of features. They have the same type of coating on them that is fantastic to touch. But John, I'll let you give a short little review of your mouse.
One thing that I really love about it, it's got two different grips that you put on it. And one of them is kind of one of them is a bigger grip, you just kind of sit your hand on it, and it fits real well. And it's got the same rubberized grip on it. But then if I want to go a little bit smaller with it and have kind of like more of like a rough grip on it, kind of like a textured, and it's more, you can do that, like I'm going to use that when I do like a first person shooter, and if I'm just like sitting back, I use the back grip, and that's really cool. And unlike Paul's, which he has yet to figure out how to pull the weights out of it, mine, you pull the skin off and press a button and it pops out a tray where all your weights fit in. And of course the million different colors I'm putting the LEDs on top is awesome. But, anyway, back to you, Paul.
Diabetes testing supplies.
All right.
Paul isn't being much of a host.
Okay, next topic. Thank you, Michael. before we move much farther, I need to pimp a Daniel Dockery's blog. I last week told him I would do this on Facebook, and being that I forget most things, I forgot this. He's actually writing a movie called Eyes on Me, and Daniel's been doing movies and comedy since high school or earlier. And I'm looking right here. He pimped my blog, so I feel terribly guilty not pimping his. So I'm looking at it right now. There's a handful of updates. I'm interested to see where this is going to go. But you can find it on eyesonmemovie.blogspot.com. Go check that out. Definitely worth a look. It might be something cool to behold when it's all done. And on that same kind of note, please give us feedback. I spoke to a few people who've listened to the show, a few people have been to the blog, but the truth is this. Getting a lot more visitors and listeners than we've ever heard from. There's, you know, last check, it was like, you know, if I were to say that the same people listen to all the shows, we've got about 24 listeners or so. So that's fantastic. But the thing is, we've only heard from like two of those people. And I know that everyone's not listening to all the episodes. And so, you know, it'd be nice to hear from you guys. I already told you, you know, my email, contrapal@gmail.com. Definitely worth sending me a little note about what you liked or didn't like about the show. You know, I don't know what everyone's into. I don't know if, you know, what you want us to talk about, but we're more than happy to talk about stuff that you want us to talk about. You know, I mean, the Android stuff and the Google Chromos and everything, that was brought about because a listener told us to talk about that. You know, we love to talk about whatever you guys want to talk about, because this show is, you know, we talk about what we want to talk about all the time. This show is about you guys. So, give us some feedback, please. To end the show today, we're going to review the brand new August Burns Red album. Mike, take it away.
If you guys don't know what August Burns Red is, we listen to a lot of HXC music, and if you don't know what that is, it's hardcore music. Hardcore music. ABR, August Burns Red is one of my, I can say honestly, my favorite band. Every time I listen to them, every time I doubt them, I listen to them and they just remind me of how good they are. They just released their next album called Constellations. It's really good. It's one of those bands that's just like, if you instantly hear them, you know it's them. But then again, they have a unique sound to like every album. So every album sounds different and it doesn't get boring, but then you still know it's them. By their thing, they have a. I have to say, this album sounds really sweet. I've listened to the whole thing. Haven't quite memorized it yet. It's a really good band to listen to. Their lyrics are good. So, you know, if you got parents that, you know, care what you listen to, their lyrics are no swearing or anything like that. Nothing profane, but they do have the. The occasional screaming and
the occasional screaming. Yeah. Anyway, this is August Burns Red's third studio album. Their first two were Your Little Suburbia is in Ruins and The Messengers. Messengers, I think?
Yeah, Messengers.
This album is kind of odd. The first time I listened to it, I was like, yeah, it's kind of generic, kind of don't like it so much. Because their last two albums have some ridiculously awesome songs. I mean, like, Barbarian off the first album,
good,
Consumer.
Some good breakdown songs. This song's more of, you know...
I mean, like, Truth of a Liar is ridiculous. This album, I was like, well, there's nothing I can really get my head around the first time. And then I did enjoy Existence and then the last song called Crusades, which we'll play for you after the show. Second listen, though, totally changed my opinion. I was like, man, I really like this album. It was almost the same way as the new Me Without You that we talked about in our very first show. You know, I listened to that, and I was like, this is odd. I don't know if I'm into this. And then I listened again, I'm like, oh, yeah, into this music. John, what do you think about new ABR? You've only listened a little bit.
I've only
heard
a little bit of it, but I mean, you know, it definitely is a different sound the last couple albums they've got. And I don't know if I like that yet, but I'll see as I listen to more of it.
Yeah, John.
ABR is also known for their first two albums. They had some really good breakdowns of like just really brutal stuff, and their new song, their new album has definitely more guitar, and it's just really sweet. They got tons of sweeps, and then what I like about it is they got a lot more two-stepping in there. And,
oh, yeah.
The only downside I can say to the new album is the album art.
I like it. I mean,
their album art's pretty good. But if you compare it to the first album, Clear Skull with bullet teeth.
Their first cover art was like a collage of various things that formed an awesome skull. I think, I mean, that...
The second one's a hand with a candle in it, you know?
Yeah, the next one's
the second one's like a picture of something. And this, I mean, I like the third album more than the second, as far as cover art goes. It's like a guy pulling a star.
Yeah.
Another cool thing is that they've actually got like a recurring guitar theme. And if you listen to every song, you're like, oh, I heard that melody in the previous song. There's just like
not as much as Nickelback.
Nickelback doesn't.
Nickelback blows.
Yep. It's not like that. It's not. I mean, it's not that they all sound the same. It's that they have this little melody that keeps on coming back and like sets the tone for the whole album. And you only really hear it in song and like featured in the very last song, Crusades.
They mix it up pretty good to where you don't notice it that much, but then you can tell that it's from the same album.
Yeah,
they do a good job with their music.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I mean, it's a good. I've listened to it, you know, like 3 times now. It's definitely something that I enjoy listening to. I'll probably crank it up again tonight. You know, I mean, basically, whenever something like takes over my car listening, you know, it's good to listen to. And as much as I raved about Me Without You, I mean, you know, I didn't really listen to them in my car so much, just because I listen to car stuff that has an awesome beat or makes me want to poon. Went out and got some pizza today, listened to ABR all the way, very happy with that album. Anyway, last thoughts before we sign off, everyone?
Keep listening, give us your thoughts, give us the feedback like Paul was saying earlier, go to our Twitters and Paul's blog and keep up with his Photoshop, and just keep listening, you guys have been great.
John?
And yeah, feedback, as they both said, we definitely need that so we can have, you know, more stuff to talk about that you actually care about.
Yeah, quality business.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, today is the 12th day of my 14 days of Photoshop garbage. Two more days, should be Tuesday.
Didn't try to Photoshop there, Paul.
Monday. Well, it works like this. I start off and I'm like, awesome, I'll be able to do this because I'm creative enough that I can come up with a new idea every day. And then it's like 10 o'clock at night, I'm like, good grief, I haven't done anything today on this. And I'm like, because it's not like I'm not trying. I sit down, I'm like, all right, well, what am I going to do today? And then I start there and I Photoshop a whole thing, and I'm like, this looks terrible. I'm not even putting this up. And I still put some terrible things up. But anyway, I'll finish that up Monday. Could be happy to finish that up because, you know, 14 days. I'm glad I said it just because it's getting to the point that I don't want to do it anymore. And it wouldn't be a marathon if I didn't get to a point where I didn't want to continue.
Yeah, yeah, true.
But anyway, I'm just, you know, really happy that I'm doing the Ross business tomorrow. And, you know, just finally heard. Yesterday I heard by phone.
Finally getting a job.
I already knew that. But the thing is, yesterday I heard that I would be. Basically, what they said yesterday is a guy from Charlotte calls and he says, we're not allowed to give out decisions over the phone, but you'll be happy with the decision. And so, I don't know, given my luck, I was very happy because I was like, well, that means I'm in. Given my luck, I don't know, I figured something would turn up and I wouldn't go in.
Would be just
today, though,
complete
log
psycho.
On, I know, yeah. Today, log on to UNCC. The admissions page says I'm accepted for admission. And I'm like, yes. So it feels good to be finally in. I just put that on Facebook today, actually, that I'm finally going there, and got some people saying some things and stuff about me leaving. So that's all cool and well and good. Anyway, I'll leave you with Crusades by August Burns Red.